All right. Well, I am very excited. We talked about multiplication last week, and look, our class has grown. How awesome is that? So super, super excited about that. Tonight, I'm going to start a little bit differently than what I normally do. I usually go right into it, but we're going to read a scripture first. It is in your notes. Notes are going to be pretty easy. You do have a front and back today. But we're going to start off with Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him. The him here is capitalized, and he's talking about Jesus. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Paul is writing here to the church in Philippi, and he's saying God has given him a name, not just a name, but the name that has preeminence in this world, that at the name of Jesus, everything that you're facing has to be submissive and subjected and surrender to the name of Jesus. So tonight we're going to go to English class. We're going to have a little fun. God is going to show us exactly what we need, but we are going to do words versus names today. Now, oddly enough, for someone who's called to stand in front of people, you would think English would have been a good, strong suit for me in school. It was not. Math was my better one. That's why we started with math last week. In fact, oddly, I don't know how to explain it. It's got to be God, but for something happened when I turned 18. When I turned 18, two things happened. I didn't mind getting in front of people, and I stopped liking video games. What is that? I can't explain it. I don't know what it is. I have a PlayStation. I don't remember last time I played a game on it. It's our DVD player. So with that being said, I was super scared. I mean, at 18, I would, if it was more than five people, I would... A lot of people know what I'm talking about. In fact, some people fear death less than they do public speaking. In other words, some people would rather die right now than come up here and talk. So it's okay. Don't worry about it. I get it. People don't like public speaking, but other than that, it's not a big problem. Now, I get how the English language is complicated. I mean, I'm from Germany, and my native language, I did grow up for a little while. I spoke both German and English. My mom will tell you that. I don't know when I lost it. I had the ear for a very long time until I was in my 20s. But when I was a little boy, I could speak both English and German. And in German, you spell words the way they sound. It's just a language that makes sense. The English language makes no sense. If you could see my notes before I hit spell check. You don't get to see my notes because there's probably still misspelled words. I probably have misspelled words up there. It still has spell check for my media. So, for example, a word like, come on, baloney. First of all, this has two meanings. It's bad enough that there are two words with the same sound. This has two meanings. All right, first, it's a food. Second, it's an insult. Yes, I would like a baloney sandwich. And second, oh, you're full of baloney. Has two meanings. Now, I don't understand that. He already said it, Bologna. That's when I read that. Yes, can I have, I was coming from Germany. Yes, I'd like a Bologna sandwich. And they're like, what is wrong with you? Are you not from around here, are you? No. To me, it should be spelt like this. That's how you should spell bologna. But that's me. And probably take out the, everyone say, take out the E or the Y, that's up to you. But we can just blame the British because they decided to put a K in knife. Knife. So, knife. Son, I need a knife. And he's like, huh? I need a knife. So I remember my second semester of ninth grade English. My first semester was honor English. Second semester was regular English. And I was so glad I did that because I was like, oh, I'm ninth grade. I'm going to get ready for college. Everything counts. And I was like, English, I don't care. It's not going to be my major. I don't need it. But I do remember my second semester English teacher because we broke down every word in a sentence. It was amazing. You could take every word and it had a meaning and it had a purpose. And that's the great thing about the spoken word. It's so powerful. The Bible says that the spoken word has the ability to bring life and death. So the words are amazing. But that doesn't make it easy to say the things that you need to say. For example, choosing the right words can be really hard in itself, especially when words sound the same thing. They sound the same, but they mean different things. For example, there, there, there. Which there are we talking about? Over there, or there, or they are. Now, when we read that slowly, that's fine, but when you say there, 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 I don't know. Or how about sweet and sweet? These are the two things I use in the promo. What about high and high? Sound exactly the same, spelt differently, mean different things. It's so hard when it comes to the English language. It's so complicated, and it ain't no lie, baby, bye, bye, bye. You don't know that's what he could be singing right there. He could be saying, bye, 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 and he's talking about three different byes. You don't know which one he's talking about because it's the English language. It's so funny, you don't know what he means, or do you? And it's not just that. It can be, if you don't use the word properly, you use the wrong word or the wrong meaning, or you even use it at the wrong time, it can also be completely embarrassing. For example, last year, my father-in-law, Nicole's dad, Nick, which is really weird that it's Nick and Nicole and Dominic, but that's how it's sometimes, we just call him dad. So he comes and visits Dominic for a game. He comes and watches a home game. Afterwards, we're going to go eat afterwards. So I'm waiting for the boy to get out of the field house. They go ahead of us. They go to where we're going. They stand in line, and there is a long wait. Well, what does the young man do? He comes around the corner finally, and he says to Nicole, he says to both of them, he says, I'm so sorry about the wait. And then my father-in-law, without blinking, says, why would you talk about my daughter's weight like that? The funniest thing. So sorry about the weight. Why you gotta talk about my weight like that? Wait and wait. See, you can get yourself in trouble when you don't know what someone is saying. Oh, my Lanta. Now, it's not just that. Sometimes it's also when you say a word. For example, sort of. Sort of is kind of meaningless. It really doesn't. It's just filler words. They don't really mean anything, sort of. But sometimes when you say them, it means everything. For example, if you say sort of after, I love you, you're going to live. Or, it's a boy. It all depends on when you say it. So the worst part is how we even butcher the English language. For example, how many of you seen a text message that's all emojis? Yes, yeah, we've gone back to hieroglyphics. I don't know why we've gone back to hieroglyphics. My son will plug in his phone in the car and he'll pop up someone's message and it just says their name and it says all these emojis and I'm like, what does all that mean? It is crazy how we've taken words and now we've even messed it up even more and we've used nothing but symbols and this is so bizarre. Do you know what I mean? Oh, wait, wait, wait. Let me say it for the younger people. Nah, I mean. We have taken do you know what I mean and changed it to nah, I mean. And he completely understands what I just said. Nah, I mean. He's like, yeah, I was wondering what you said till you said nah, I mean. It is so crazy what we do. Now, this is words versus names tonight, so we're going to talk about the opponent. Let's talk about names. Everybody has a name. Everybody has a name that's given to them. Now, some people it was given to them by their parents, some people their grandparents, some people a relative. Doesn't matter how you got your name, everyone has a name. Now, when it comes to that, some people get their names from a family member. It's a family name. Some people get their names after someone famous. Oh, I really love this famous star. I'm going to name my child this. Some people get their names just like their parents just like that name. Like my name, Aaron. My mom just, I like Aaron. That's why I named you that. Okay. Or maybe your parents didn't like you and they gave you a name they didn't like. That's how we have Cletuses in the world because I don't know how you could like your child and name them Cletus. That's just me. I'm sorry. That's not even in my notes. But is it really? Oh, my God. The one time I say it, I'm in total trouble. My dad. Bless his heart. Is that how you? No, I'm just saying. Some people get their name, really, their parents don't know what to do, so they pick their name out of the big baby book of names. You're like, how did I get Lily? Well, we couldn't figure out a name, so I went like this, and you got Lily. I don't know how we did that. Everyone has a name. It doesn't matter how you get it. at the end of the day, though, really, most people's names don't have any significant, weighty meaning, for the most part. But just so you know, I looked it up, and in the ancient Hebrew, Aaron means loudmouth and handsome. So I was going to let you figure out the significance of that. I was just reading, came across that. I thought I'd help y'all out. People are giving their kids the craziest names, don't you think? One non-believing couple, true story, named their child Atheist Evolution. Yes, that's what they named their child. Bob Gandolf and Paula Yates decided to name their first child Fifi Trixie Bell. It's a girl. Honest to goodness, she has three other sisters, and their names are Peaches Honey Blossom, Little Pixie, and Heavenly Tiger Lily. If you name your children any name I just said, then after class, we're going to set up a counseling session with Pastor, because it's not, you need Jesus. We're going to talk about that. David Bowie named his son Zoe, as in Zoe Bowie. He didn't like it, so he changed his name to Duncan. That sounds better. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones named his daughter Dandelion. She tells everybody her name is Angela. Chef Jamie Oliver, I don't know if you know Chef Jamie Oliver, he's British, so he's already hoity-toity. His wife Jules, which is spelt J-O-O-L-S, that's how you spell her name, Jules, very weird. They decided to name their three girls. They have, their first child is named Poppy Honey, Daisy Boo, and Petal Blossom Rainbow. Yes, Jerry Seinfeld named his child Shepherd. Son's name is Shepherd Seinfeld. Now, if you're just thinking this is just a North American thing, it's not just a North American thing. Other cultures have this same problem. For example, one man in Vietnam named his son My Fat Sow Nine Rui, which means in Vietnamese, I paid $5,500, which is how much it cost him to ignore his country's two-child policy. That was his third child. He named his child how much it cost him. Yeah, that's pretty bad. With that kind of mentality, though, I wonder what happens every year at his birthday. You know what, son? I know we named you that, but you're up to $25,000, so we're just going to name you that now. Yeah, father of the year right there. Now, Malaysia has banned some names you can't call your children. Sun Chai means unsound mind or insane. You can't name your child that. Sum Sing means gangster. You can't name your kid gangster. And the best of all, Chow Tow, in Malaysian means smelly head. You can't name your kid smelly head. We should have rules like that, shouldn't we? Here's the truth. Names are important. Names are important to God. Your name matters and my name matters. That's why we're not called the nameless servants of God. Your name really does matter. In fact, some people, God changed their name to show a significant change in life, like Abram and Sarai and Jacob, and Peter changed his name, and Saul. These people changed their name because names matter. Now, the truth of the matter in words versus names, words have meaning, but names have power. Words have meaning, but names have power. For example, if you were going to take a document and sign the words, the President of the United States, at the bottom, it has meaning. It has significant meaning. But if Donald Trump wants that bill to become a law, he can't just sign the President of the United States. He has to sign his name, because words have meaning and names have power. You could write a check today, and you could write at the bottom, you could sign a couple of titles of what you do, of who you are at your work, or some characteristics of who you are. You can sign all those things at the bottom. But if you want your check to clear, you have to sign your name, because words have meaning and names have power. The most significant name that has ever been spoken or ever will be spoken is the name of Jesus. Paul is writing in our scripture that we read earlier that there is a name that has been given that does have great significance. It is something that matters. It's more than just a name with meaning. It's a name with power. The name of Jesus stands out as a name that is above every name. But it's words versus names tonight, so we're going to battle it out tonight. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to get a little rowdy. I might get a little gospel preacher on you too. But we're going to fight it out. I hope you're ready for this one. Come on. I know what I'm waiting for. It's been acting up, I told you. I'm supposed to be getting a bell right now. Ding, 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 ding. It doesn't want to do it. Ha ha! You didn't know. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about different words versus names. That's our battle tonight. I'm going to need a little class participation. I'm going to read one side. You're going to read the other side. It's pretty easy. But it's okay to get a little rowdy. It's okay to get a little excited. I promise you, I'm probably going to get excited. So I know I just drank some water, but the gloves are off. It's words versus names. I didn't put this on your sheet, so you don't have to write all these because there's a lot. Yeah. So there are many titles given to Jesus, and these are the different words to describe him, but let's start off with it. Jesus is the second Adam, the anointed, the apostle, the author, the amen, the alpha, the ancient of days, the beginning and the begotten, the beloved and the branch and the bridegroom and the bread and the bright and morning star and the bishop of our souls and the brightness of the Father's glory. It's okay if y'all get on board and get a little excited with me. He's the captain and the constellation. He is the chief cornerstone. He is our counselor, our covenant. He's chosen of God. He is our Christ, and Jesus is our deliverer. He's our day spring. He's our day star. He is the door and the desire of all nations. Jesus is the elect of God, the ensign, the everlasting Father, and Emmanuel. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Jesus is the finisher of our faith, our forerunner, our friend, the first fruits of God. He is the faithful witness. He is the fountain of life of which all life flows. He is the fairest of 10,000. Jesus is God, and he is the gift of God, and he is our governor and our guide and our glorious Lord. Jesus is our helper and our hope and our husband and our horn of salvation, and he hears us, and he is the head of our church. He is the heir of all things, our high priest, hell's dread, heaven's wonder, and the Holy One of Israel. Jesus is the great I am, the inheritance, the image of God's person. He is the invisible one. Shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus is Judah. He is just. He is judge. He is king of kings. He's king of Israel. He's king of glory. He's king everlasting. He is light and he's love. And he is lily and he is lamb and he is lion and he is the living stone. And he is the Lord of all glory. Shout his name.
Jesus.
He is the messenger and the Messiah and the mediator and our master and the mighty God and mercy's paradox. Jesus is the Nazarene, the offspring of David, the Omega, the only begotten of God. He is our offering and our offerer. He is our priest. He is our Passover. He is our prophet. He is the Prince of Light and the Prince of Peace. And he is the great physician. Shout his name.
Jesus.
He is righteous and in Rabbi and our ransom and our rest. He is the root of Jesse and the root of David. He is our refiner, our refuge, our resurrection, our rose of Sharon, our ruler, our redeemer. Rock of ages, shout his name.
Jesus.
He is our stone and our shepherd, son of God, son of man, shield, servant, seed of woman, surety, sufferer, savior, sinless, sacrifice. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say his name.
Jesus.
He is the teacher. He is our truth. He is our tabernacle. He is our treasure, our tree of life. He is our witness. He is the word. He is the way. He is our wisdom. And he is wonderful. Shout his name.
Jesus.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you the gloves are coming off. See, you can call him anything you want to call him, but the only way that you have power is when you call him by his name. That's when all of hell responds and all of heaven answers. When you shout his name, shout Jesus.
Jesus.
That's his name. I think this fight is over, right? I don't think we need to worry who wins here. I think if we're going words versus names, it's the name of Jesus. There is no other name that is more precious than Jesus. There is no title that you can give him. There is no thing that you can learn about him. There is no thing you can say about him that can do for you what can do when you say his name. Say Jesus one more time.
Jesus.
Amen. So tonight, I want to tell you three little points of why his name matters and why his name is above every other name. First, in your notes, is it's a special name. I better do it. This is where it's been messing up. It's a special name, and it's giving me a special problem. Also gives me a chance to calm down. Oh, my word. I got a little excited. I don't know about y'all. How many words? I said 150 words that fast?
Yeah,
The fact that I'm timed on that is amazing. This is.
I like timed.
I know why he times things. How long is it till I get to go eat dinner? I'm sorry, I had to say that. That was pretty funny, but all right. It's a special name. Jesus is a special name. Now, Jesus was a fairly common name in the life of Christ. It's the English form of Greek iteration of Yeshua, or what we would commonly pronounce as Joshua. It wasn't that it was uncommon. In fact, Jesus was just as common as John or Bob or Mary or Sue, but it was still a special name. In fact, after the first of the century, the modern world changed its cultural acceptance of the name of Jesus. You don't know anybody named Jesus in the English language, do you? Jesus, yeah, but you don't. When you come over here, it's still Jesus. They don't want to say Jesus. But you don't hear anybody name their kid Jesus anymore because it was so respected and so revered. And because it was a special name. And it wasn't just a special name because Mary and Joseph picked it. In fact, no, they didn't pick it at all. God picked it. You see, Mary and Joseph didn't get to pick Jesus' name out of the big book of names. God picked his name. In your scripture, we have Matthew 1 and 21. And but while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and saying, Joseph, son of David, be not afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. And I got a name. You don't get to call him Smelly Head or Tiger Lily. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You see, Jesus' name wasn't something they got to pick out. God picked it out. And the reason why God picked it out is because God had a plan all along. In fact, the name of Jesus literally means Jehovah has become our salvation. And he's trying to explain that to Joseph. Joseph, Jehovah, that same God who has no beginning and no end, that same Jehovah who put all the stars in the universe, that same Jehovah that you've worshipped since Abraham for thousands and thousands of years, that same Jehovah who you've been looking for Messiah, that same Jehovah that you've been sacrificing lambs and goats and ox for thousands of years, trying to get God's attention, that same Jehovah has become our salvation, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus' name is the real truth of the purpose of why he came. He didn't come to condemn us, but he came to convict us. He didn't come to cast us out, but he came to lift us up. Jesus didn't come to damn us. He came to deliver us. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It was a special name. It was a special name because not only did God give it, but it had special power. I don't know if you know this, but there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 This is what the Bible says. And these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. In my name. They will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents, and they will drink any deadly thing, and by no means will it hurt them. And they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's in red letters, guys. Jesus is saying it in my name. Now, you could come up here afterwards if you want prayer. We will always be happy to pray for people. We don't do traditional altar calls. But if you want prayer, I could lay my hands on you, and I could pray in my name, and it doesn't have power. You could come up to me, and I could pray over your finances, over your sickness, that your marriage would be fixed, that your family would get fixed, that you could be unaddicted by what bounds you, and it doesn't have power. But when I lay my hands on you, and I call on the name that can change anyone's life, when I invoke the power that comes behind Jesus' name, then absolutely anything is possible. If we read in our scripture, John 14, 3 and 13 and 14 says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything, there it is again, in my name, I will do it. In the name of Jesus, there is all power in heaven and in earth. Everything. There's nothing that you're facing right now that Jesus' name doesn't have power and preeminence over. There's no struggle in your family that Jesus' name doesn't have power and preeminence over. It's a special name. It's not like your name. It's not like my name. His name is above your name, and his name is above my name, and his name is higher than my name. Listen closely. His name is above and higher and exalted than anything that you would give a name. You may call what you're going through cancer. You may capitalize it and put a big C by it. But when you put it beside his name is a special name. You may be fighting financial ruin and everything's going bad and it may look horrible, but when you put his name beside that name, you may be fighting diabetes. That may be your diagnosis. You may name that problem in your life that specific, but when you compare it to his name, there's no name that's greater than his name. Your marriage could be going sideways. Everything can be going wrong. You may be going through divorce, but when you say the name of Jesus and put it next to any name you have, nothing compares to his name. I may be an addict. You may call yourself an addict. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an addict. I don't care what you name yourself or how you name yourself. There is no other name that's higher than the name of Jesus. Whatever you're facing, whatever problem you have in your life right now, his name is above that name. His name is a special name. Number two, his name is a stainless name. I'm actually doing really good on time tonight. To every other name that has ever been spoken, you can attach a list of good and a list of bad to them. If my wife came up here, she would tell you all the good things I do, and she'd be more than happy to tell you all the bad things I do. I'm sure if someone came that knew you, they'd say, I like this about him and I don't like this about him. For every name that's ever been spoken, there is a list of good and a list of evil. If I say the name Donald Trump, don't throw anything. You can find good and you can find evil. If I say Barack Obama or LeBron James or Pablo Picasso or Adolf Hitler or Albert Einstein or Tiger Woods, you can find good and you can find bad. But when you say the name of Jesus, and that alone, the only thing you can attach to his name is praise and honor and glory and exaltation. There's no evil that you can put beside his name. That's why your Bible says that at his name, every knee will bow. Now, you don't just bow your knee to anybody. It is acting up. There we go. When you get down on your knee and you say, I'm going to humble myself, you're saying, I can humble myself to someone who is worthy to be humbled. I can get on my knee and I can humble myself and say, this person is amazing and worth my humbling. You don't get down on your knee for someone who would lie to you. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't get down on your knee for someone who would fail you. I can get down on my knee for a God who never fails me, who loves me unconditionally, who would never lie to me, whose word is true. When you get down and you humble yourself, and every knee should bow, I can bow my name to the name of Jesus. In fact, you should never bow your knee to any other name but the name of Jesus. His name is the only name that's worthy for me to bow my knee. His name is the only name that's worthy for me to get up and come on a Sunday morning. And when I don't feel like it, I have to come to church or I have to come on a Tuesday night and I have to praise his name. Because his name is a stainless name. Now, there are three places in the Bible where it says the name of Jesus is glorified. It says those in heaven. Everyone say heaven.
Heaven.
Those in earth. Say earth.
Earth.
Those under the earth. Say hell. The first place Jesus is adored is in heaven. There he is glorified like no other. The precious name of Jesus is like a catalyst for a multitude of angels rejoicing and praising his name. In fact, Revelation 7 and 9 says this, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. What did they do? They fell on their faces and they worshiped him. He alone is worshiped. He alone is worthy. He alone, because he has a stainless name. The Bible also says, not only in heaven is he worshipped and adored, but also here on earth. The Bible says that every knee shall bow. You see, my brothers and sisters, there's a day that is coming that when every living soul that has ever walked on this earth will bow their knee. Now, I'm not talking about just the people that are living now. I'm talking about every single person that has ever lived. They will bow on their knee and confess with a loud voice that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Now, some historians say, and anthropologists, they say over 108 billion people have walked this earth since its creation. Now, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but what I do know is that you and I are born of woman, so that means you and I do not have a choice. There will come a day where we will get on our knee, and no one here is going to be more powerful enough, more famous enough, more rich enough, more evil enough. Everybody will bow their knee. Donald Trump will bow his knee. Barack Obama will bow his knee. Michael Jordan will. Pablo Picasso will. George Washington will. Charles Manson will. Adolf Hitler will. Genghis Khan will. Pope Francis will. I will. You will. Everybody someday will get on their knees and cry out that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And then your Bible says, everyone under the earth will bow their knee. Every battle that you are facing or you have ever faced, every struggle that you're facing in your finances, in your family, in your body, in your relationships, with your children, one day and one day soon, every devil and henchman in hell, and even Satan himself, the prince of darkness and the prince of lies, will bow on their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. His name is a special name. His name is a stainless name. And finally, his name is a saving name. Stainless name, flip it over. In heaven, on earth, under the earth, and then his name. Sorry. I'm done writing. It's my turn. I want to listen. By its very definition, we read earlier that Jesus' name means Jehovah has become our salvation. In his name and it alone can you find salvation for your sins. In his name and it alone is there deliverance from your bondage, from your debt of an eternity in hell. I wish I could tell you that all paths lead to heaven. I wish I could tell you every religion was getting you where you need to be. I wish you could call him whatever you wanted to call him, but I cannot do that. It is not true. The only name given to us is Jesus' name. The only name that's powerful enough to save you and deliver you and redeem you and to save you from you is Jesus' name. Acts 4 and 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we, everyone say, must be.
Must be.
Everyone say, must be.
Must be.
We must be saved by his name. John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Acts 2, Acts 4, 10 and 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his
name,
whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. So in conclusion, his name has all power. His name can do anything. There's no one here that's too sick. No one here that's too lost. There's no one here that's so sinful that his name can't reach you right where you are. I wish I could give you the words. I wish I had the right words to say. I wish we could sit down and talk and have a counseling session, and maybe we could. It would help. But if we could sit down and I could give you 12 steps to be a better husband or a better wife, 10 steps to raise your kids right, 6 steps to get out of debt, 5 steps to be unaddicted to what's controlling you. But none of that has the power of his precious, special, stainless, saving name. So my question to you tonight is, what do you need from his name? Some of the Sozu house heard this last session. This was actually in my notes. I told them it wasn't in my notes when I got home. They were looking at me like, what do you mean it's not his notes? We're standing in a circle praying. God had given me this series, that last series. So when we stood in the circle, God was actually filling me with the word, and he put this in my heart to share. I don't really like to testify too much because I get a little emotional, but when I was 19 years old, it was about, wow, we're talking 18 years now. It's been 18 years ago. When I was 19, I was a very, very young, zealous man for God. I'm going to say young man. I wasn't even a man. 19 years old, going to church, Bible studies, fasting. That was when I could fast 5 days in a row like it was nothing. I can brag about that now because I'd die if it was 5 days right now. But I was 19 and I was working hard and I was committing myself to God. I had decided that I'm going to go all in. I'm going to live for God. That was when I made my decision. I had never been so involved in church in all my life at that point. And I was diving in headfirst. I was reading the word hours at a time. I was praying hours at a time every single day. It was my meat. It was my bread. It was what I was living off of. And I was standing and I was teaching gymnastics. And in gymnastics, we had summer camp. And parents want to do something with their kids. So they gave all the kids a summer camp that wanted to sign up. And we had this huge, huge summer camp. So imagine all day with 100 kids. You want to lose your mind. So the worst part is when it's lunchtime. So now you have 100 hungry kids. Now we would take turns. Sometimes we all had lunch at the same time. It was the best way to clean up the least amount of mess. So some days I would go out and prepare lunch. Some days I would not. So we would set out mats and everything. Well, today was my turn not to set up lunch, and I was super excited. And I was in the gymnastics gym, and you have 100 kids lined up on the floor, and right next to the floor are two competition trampolines. Well, how are we going to entertain them? We're going to jump up and down. We're going to do the trampoline. Back then, I weighed a lot less. I could fly really high. I could do a lot of cool things. I was doing a lot of cool things. We had been jumping around for about 20, 30 minutes, and I had done this pretty much all summer. This is a double-matted trampoline that I'm jumping on. This shouldn't be no big deal. And I start to jump, and I look at the guy next to me, and I said, watch this. I'm going to do this really hard trick. He says, what are you going to do? I'm going to do a knee drop, and I'm going to come out in a layout. I'm going to do a full twist and land on my feet. And he's like, dude, you got to get a lot of height to do that. I said, does it look like I have a problem getting height? Let's do this. So I start circling my arms. I start getting really big. I start getting really high. And then I go to do the knee drop. And when I did that, the best way I could describe it was like a bowling ball through a wet paper towel. Now, if I could also give you a description of the best way to describe what that was, if you go out to the sanctuary and you go downstairs and you go to the stage, now imagine if you're at the bottom of the stage and I'm standing on top of Pastor's piano. Now imagine I take the biggest jump I can off of that piano and I land right on my knees right where you're standing. And that's how fast it happened. I went straight through. There was no hesitation. There was no give. It was poof. And the kids thought it was hilarious. Oh my goodness, it's so awesome. And the teacher started freaking out because I'm literally, all you can see is my arms and my head. And underneath that is years and years of trampoline dust and dead skin. So it's poof and disgusting. And I remember being there on my knees and all seven coaches coming around. And I remember being right there and I remember hearing all those things. And all of a sudden, they all drowned it out. The kids were laughing. They didn't realize there was a problem. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I just broke my knees. There's no way. There's no way I didn't break my knees. And God says, stand up and walk. And I stood up and I walked. And it hurt, but I got up. I thought, they're shattered. There's no way. It's concrete. It's not matted. It was too big of a drop. And I went to church. And I prayed, and I couldn't stand for a couple of days. This was how I was standing at worship service. I couldn't do this. And I remember going up, and I remember praying, and I remember feeling so much better. I was like, oh, this is so awesome. God, you're so amazing. Thank you for telling me to walk. Thank you for giving me this testimony. And then a month goes by. A month. And the pain doesn't stop. And I'm popping Advil like it's Skittles. And I can't take it anymore. And I go to my boss, and you're 19 at a gymnastics gym. You don't have health insurance. It doesn't exist. And I can't take the pain anymore. It hurts to move. And I go to my boss and I say, I have to see a doctor. I don't know what I'm doing. This hurts so much. And then I remember sitting in that waiting room, tears in my eyes, all the fears that you can think of. I'm 19 years old. What if this is horrible? What kind of surgery? How am I going to live the rest of my life if this is not going to be okay? How am I not going to walk and run and jump and do all these things if my legs don't work, God? And as the fear floods in, I remember God getting real honest and angry with me. And he said, why are you here? I can't take the pain anymore. No. Why are you here, Aaron? I told you to get up and walk. I know you did, and I did. Thank you, God. But the pain's so bad afterwards, I can't take anymore. He said, wait a second. I thought I told you I healed you. I thought you had faith in me. Am I not your God? Am I not your deliverer? Do I not come through on time? Do you not have faith? And I'm like, yes, you're that God. You're my God. Yes, you can, but I can't take the pain anymore, God. I'm sitting in this office. I don't know what to do, God. I'm so full of fear. And he says, but I healed you in my name. And then he got real loud, real fast, and he said, in my name, you are healed. And instantly the nurse said, Aaron Ryder. And it was like a flowing sentence. In my name, you are healed, Aaron Ryder. And I stood up, and the pain was gone. It was gone. I can imagine it right now. It went from, oh my goodness, where is it? I went to the doctor, and they took 12 x-rays, 6 on this leg, 6 on this leg. And I promise you, when the doctor grabbed my leg and started doing this, he was doing things that 10 minutes ago, I would have punched him out. And there was no pain. It was gone. It had been healed. God had really healed me. Now I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, I can explain that. There was nothing wrong in the first place. This is all in your head. Oh, yeah? Wait until you're laying in a hospital. And you don't know what's going on, and all you can do is say in Jesus' name. Wait until it's your kid who's addicted, and all you can do is stand at their closed door and lay your hands on the door and say in Jesus' name. Wait until it's your marriage that's struggling, and your spouse is sleeping in the other room, and all you can do is go in the hallway and say in Jesus' name. Wait until it's your baby who's sick, and all you know how to do is hold them in your arms and say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's no name like his name. There's no words I can tell you today but his name. There are people in this town who are struggling, who are fighting. They're seeking help, and they need a word, and they're looking for words, but the words aren't going to do what they need to. They're struggling in their marriage, in their finances, in their health. They are struggling with addictions and illicit relationships. And the only name I know, the only thing I can say is Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God wants to take us to school today. He wants you to know it doesn't matter the words you say, but make sure you start it and you finish it in Jesus' name. So I want to pray for you tonight. I'm not going to pray long. I've already prayed loud. But we're going to make it super simple. Whatever you need today, whatever strength you need, whatever healing you need, his name is a special name. His name is a stainless name. His name is a saving name. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words, but I thank you more for the power in your name. I thank you for what your name represents, that there is no name above your name. It doesn't matter what struggles I've fought in my life. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, what trials, what sicknesses, what addictions. Whatever it is, your name is above and higher and exalted than those names. So today I pray that you would make disciples of every person in here, that wherever they go and they hear someone struggling and they don't know what to do and they don't have the words, and all they have to say is Jesus' name. Lord, bless us as you have. Keep your hand upon us, heal us, deliver us, free us, as only your name can do. In Jesus' name, amen.